Welcome to the SSPX podcast, delivering sermons, lectures, and the spoken word from across the English-speaking world. Today we'll be speaking with Dr. Brian McCall. Dr. McCall has held several positions over his career, as well as being a frequent contributor to the Angelus magazine and speaking at Angelus press conferences. Dr. McCall has been a professor of law at Oklahoma University for the past 12 years after receiving his doctorate in medieval languages from King's College in England. Recently, he added another item to his resume, which we will speak with him about, and we will bring to him one of the questions from our readers. That is, can someone who is a traditional Catholic serve in the U.S. military? Dr. McCall is especially suited to answer this question based on his background in law, as well as having just participated in the War Symposium, which took place over Passion Week of this past year, 2018, at La Salette Academy. The full recording of this symposium is fascinating and dives into a lot more detail than what we can cover in just 20 minutes speaking with Dr. McCall here on this podcast. We would suggest you visit angeluspress.org and purchase the entire CD set, which contains 12 lectures on the topic of war. For more information on the work that Dr. McCall does, you can visit catholicfamilynews.org. Now, our conversation.
So today, instead of talking with one of our priests, we are talking with Dr. Brian McCall. Hello, Dr. McCall. How are you?
I'm very well. Nice to speak to you.
You as well. Well, first, I wanted to introduce you to some of our listeners who may not know who you are officially, but for anyone who has been around Angelus Press conferences or any of these sorts of events in the past, you will know Dr. McCall is one of our frequent speakers. You've written for the Angelus in the past, so you're no stranger to many of the folks in the SSPX, but you've recently just accepted a new position. Congratulations on that, and could you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure, thank you. I recently accepted the position of editor-in-chief of Catholic Family News. Many readers may know Catholic Family News. For decades, it was run by John Venari, who was an incredible person. He also may be familiar through Angelus Press. He spoke at several conferences there as well. Sadly, he passed away a little over a year ago. The board sort of that's been operating Catholic Family News approached me completely out of the blue. I was not expecting it, and asked if I would join the team there. And as I said, when John was alive, he was doing the work of multiple people. I think we're learning that now that he's gone. It's taking several people to do what he did.
Sure.
And so I was really happy to, after praying about it, thinking about it, offer to get involved. And there's a monthly newspaper that's published, which is the Catholic Family News, that's sent out. We are working on, and hopefully we'll be able to announce officially soon, an e-version of that so that it can also be available electronically. And then we also have had for decades a conference once a year that is over a weekend in the spring, usually. So you can attend Angelus Conference in the fall and Catholic Family News in the spring and get a sort of full year of Catholic tradition. But it really was perfect timing. I'd been sort of God's plan. I've been the coordinator for the SSPX Chapel where I go in Oklahoma City for many years. And fortunately, a very generous family came forward just this past year and agreed to take that over, which I would have never been able to accept this with that responsibility as well. So God closed one door so that another one could open.
That's what, yeah. And the coordinators of the chapels of the SSPX, those are really a lot of the unsung heroes that make things happen. So God bless you for doing that work and the other coordinators who help make things happen. I wanted to back up a little bit and just chat about, you know, you were not a cradle to today traditional Catholic. You went to Yale, you studied English there. You went to King's College and you studied, medieval English literature? Is that right?
That's right.
At King's College, okay. And all this, you know, you were not yet a trad, quote-unquote trad. I read recently, and maybe it was in the press release on Catholic Family News, you mentioned that this kind of helped you to realize, once you did stumble across a traditional Latin Mass, and maybe by accident, you know your story better than I do, but
yes.
What that kind of really helped you to get a better appreciation and understanding for what the Mass was and kind of set you up to be kind of who you are now, which is a lawyer, a speaker, someone who is a scholar, but someone who is also passionate about the tradition and the beauty of the Catholic Church.
Yes, very true. I grew up in the Novus Ordo, went to traditional diocesan, well, not traditional. Diocesan high school, grade school. I had no idea that Vatican II had changed things, that the Mass used to be different. Growing up, nobody talked about it. Nobody even told me that. This was not the way things always were. And I sure didn't even know what I didn't know. But interestingly, in retrospect, I was very interested in medieval history, medieval literature. As you said, studied that at Yale. Ironically, I found out Father Michael McMahon, who's been the headmaster at La Salette, I've gotten to know him. We were actually at Yale at the same time.
Oh, no kidding.
Didn't know each other. Again, I was going to the local Novus Ordo church there. I didn't know him. He was obviously going to Richfield. He'd say his father would drive up, honk the horn outside his dorm room every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock to bring him over to Richfield. Yeah. Again, we were sort of in the same world, but didn't know each other, and I didn't know he was going off to Richfield to go to this different Mass. But then when I did first find one, and it was interesting, our next door neighbor across the street in Philadelphia saw a tiny little note in a newspaper about some priest that was going to offer some traditional Mass over the river in New Jersey, actually, a little further from where we were. Uh-huh. And he's like, "Hey, I wonder what this is. Have you ever heard anything about this? Do you want to go check this out?" I'm like, "I wonder what that is. I don't know." So we literally just went over to check it out. It was like the scales sort of falling off your eyes. And I think in retrospect, I had this sort of discontinuity, like the church that I studied and the literature that I read and the imagery in it. It was completely different from what I would meet on Sunday. They were like sort of two different parts of my mind, but I had never sort of connected. Well, the church must have been different then to produce this imagery, this literature. And sort of when I saw it in front of me, I clicked and said, "Well, this is it. This must have been the Mass that Dante, the poets, that Aquinas were writing about." And then I sort of went back and started reading and said, "Wait, where did this other thing come from?" And begin to learn there was this dramatic break in the 1960s that I was unaware of for so long in my life.
Wow, that mirrors the story of so many other people who've come across it. And I was one of those who was, I mentioned in the last podcast with Father Robinson, I was cradle to today Catholic, but so I have not experienced that, but you must almost kind of feel cheated in a way.
Yes. I mean, cheated in the it's one thing to sort of know what's going on or have something denied to you, but to be even denied the knowledge of it. So it's one thing, here's this thing out here, you're not going to get it. But to sort of have you had your own history hidden from you is, and again, not saying intentionally every teacher, every nun in school, but it's just the fact that it's just amazing you would be in a Catholic school and nobody even mentioned to you, "Hey, by the way, some things changed within the past decade." I was going to school in the late 70s. It's just extraordinary. And always to me, when somebody does that, what do you have to hide? I mean, if you're really comfortable with the way things are, shouldn't you be pretty open about it? I mean, you would think you're happy with it. You'd have nothing to hide. But it's sort of interesting that it's just sort of not even talked about.
Right. Absolutely. Well, we've talked a little bit about what you're doing now and your history. One of the things that you did recently and participated in recently was you mentioned Father McMahon at La Salette Academy, but they had a symposium on the topic of war during this past Passion Week in 2018. Incidentally, that is now available for sale, the full audio recording. It's a 12 lectures, I believe, 2 CDs box set. Is available now on Angelus Press for sale, and you gave a talk on during the symposium, and the reason I wanted to chat with you today was, well, first to get in touch with you and find out a little bit more about you and the work you're doing at Catholic Family News, but also we receive questions from our from people on our website and our Facebook for this podcast. And one of them I thought was perfectly suited to you, And that is the subject of a just war. And we can talk about that in maybe more general terms in a little bit. But what sparked my curiosity to talk to you was the question, can traditional Catholics in good conscience be a part of the armed forces of the U.S. when ostensibly there has not really been a just war in some time? Now, maybe you want to back up and take that apart piece by piece or answer that however you will, but that was the question that kind of prompted me to want to chat with you today. So I guess maybe is there a just war? Is there a just war that the U.S. has been involved in? I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, so
yes.
Good luck.
No, there's a lot, and certainly can't do it justice. I mean, I would really say buy the CDs, because we get into a much more detail this question throughout the conference. I have a whole hour-long conference on this question, you know, what is a just war?
Sure.
And in fact, one of the students there asked a very similar question, which I think if the Q&A is on the CDs, I haven't heard it. Okay. You know, he said, I'm graduating from high school. Can I go into the military? Is that something I can choose as a career in light of this? So I touch on that in one of the questions after my conference. So essentially the answer, we have to always start at the level of principles and then talk about applying those principles to our circumstance. So at the level of principle, it's very clear that a Catholic certainly can choose a military career. And in fact, on principle, the choice of a career as a soldier in the military is a very noble choice. Mm-hmm. Because the career itself is one of selflessness, right? I'm going to risk my own life, put my own life in danger for the common good, for the protection of my country, my community. And so, again, it's not only an acceptable in principle, it's a very noble profession. And I touch on in the Just War Conference, you know, in Scripture, some of the disciples of John the Baptist come to him, and he was preaching reform, and some soldiers come and say, what should we do to repent? Do we have to quit the military? And he tells them, no, you have to be the best soldiers you can. You know, don't break the laws of war, essentially. And, you know, be happy with your pay. Don't complain about your pay. And so, again, it's very clear. John the Baptist was not a subtle person. He was pretty blunt with people right. that needed to shape up their lives. And he doesn't say, oh, military is evil. Get away from it. So at the level of principle, it is certainly a very just career. Now, the issue is not every military action or every use of the military is in itself just. And all the way going back to St. Augustine throughout the church has developed clear principles on when the legitimate authorities can use that power justly. And so sometimes they can, that's a just war, and sometimes they misuse it. And so what's wrong in that case of an unjust war is not the fact of being in the military or using force, but when it's used improperly in its improper place. So war and physical force is neither sort of good or bad in and of itself. It's a means, and you have to look at the particular context to decide, you know, how it's used, if it's used properly. And so the soldier, generally, it's a noble profession, can join it. And the responsibility, though, for deploying the military force is really with the legitimate authority, with the political authority. So it's not the private or the soldier who makes the decision to go to war. That's on the moral level of the authority. The soldier, his situation is in his carrying out of his duty. He cannot do anything intrinsically evil or immoral. So if he's in a just war, we'll concede that, and his superior says, you know, go and slaughter these innocent people, he then at that point, you know, has to exercise his own moral power and say, well, I can't do that. That's an unjust order. That's even if the war is just, I can't follow an unjust order within that war. So always at the level of the individual, even if it's not within his authority to decide, well, should we enter this war or not, within the context of fighting, that's where his question is.
And if you get court-martialed because of that, then so be it. That's the price you pay for being a just person, essentially.
Right, and it's an unjust punishment. So even if you're punished for that, just like Archbishop Lefebvre was, you know, unjustly and illicitly sanctioned or, you know, purportedly suspended, he suffered the consequence, even though it was unjust, and even though it literally had no legal effect. Same kind of thing. You know, you might get put into a prison or something, but you, from a legal perspective, you're not really being punished because it's not, you know, it's a crime being committed against you.
Right.
But clearly the soldier doesn't have to say, well, before I decide I want to be a soldier, I have to decide, is there just war going on? Right. You enter and then you go forward. Now, that's at the level of principle. The problem we live in is we live in a civil political society. And there certainly have been some just wars in the history of the United States in the past, some unjust, some just. But the question is, we have a political authority that refuses to, in many ways, accept the natural law, refuses divine law, refuses the authority of the church, and therefore shows itself to not be necessarily capable of making these moral decisions, right? They sort of say, we're going to cut ourselves off from the principles, but we still have this awesome power to deploy the military, and in recent times has shown itself to choose to deploy the military in what appears to be unjust wars. So now the question is, for a Catholic man today, a very hard prudential one, right? So I know it could be just, but factually I might entrust myself to a government that first might deploy me in an unjust war. But more importantly, a government that has shown a willingness to order soldiers to use unjust methods of warfare, to employ torture, to attack civilians. And so the real prudential question is, I now know I'm putting myself in a circumstance where I may be asked more likely. Again, always in past, right? Even in the Crusades, there might be a bad apple out there that tells me, I know there's always that possibility.
Of course, yeah.
But it was more remote, right? We lived in a society, the Crusades, where the church was acknowledged, these principles were accepted. So it was a risk. Okay, I know I may be put on the spot and have to make a choice to do the right thing or not, but it's remote. The question now is it's more proximate, right? We live in such a corrupt society that I'm now putting myself in, again, a place of temptation, right? Perhaps an occasion of sin where I know I may be ordered to do something wrong and I may be weak and give in to that. But it's more likely than in the past because of the circumstance we live in. And so you have to be really, really careful, I think, about discerning, is that an occasion of sin it's prudent to put myself in, given these dangers, given the world we're in, given my own spiritual sense. So I, you probably want me to give a real clear yes or no answer. I think it's hard to do that. I think
right. There's
a lot more dangers right now. And I would say it's not anyone who says, well, you're in the army, you're immoral. You know, there's no questions about it. You're in sin.
Right.
I think that's overstated. We can't say that. It's really the individual level, individual prudence. It's getting harder and harder, I think, to as our government shows itself to be more and more closed off to these moral influences, to make that decision. But I think an individual really have to talk to a spiritual director, visit with a priest, and give it much, much more careful consideration than certainly 500 years ago, 800 years ago, even 100 years ago in this country. It's even though we don't have a Catholic state, we had a civil government that was at least more open to the natural law, and so closer to applying these principles than, you know, the completely materialistic secular state that we have today.
Wow, that's fascinating. And at first, you were going down the road of principles, and I went, oh, okay, so it's okay. All right, well, maybe not so cut and dry. All the more reason why it's maybe better for our listeners to check out that CD set, because it's a pretty complex, complicated topic. You know, I personally, I had always said if the draft ever came back, I would immediately go and join the Coast Guard. To me, that's one branch of the military that seems a whole lot safer than the others, both in terms of doing morally objectionable things or being in that situation. I'm not making blanket statements, and I'm sure all the guys who are in the Army now are going to come and try and hunt me down, but just my personal opinion.
And again, we always have to be on guard, you know, with virtue, as St. Thomas and Aristotle teach, is always this golden mean, right? And we always have to be aware of the extremes that lead to vice. So on one hand, we don't want to go to the extreme of, everything military is great. Everything that, you know, military, you know, wrong. But on the other hand, you know, go to the opposite extreme, just say, again, it's intrinsically evil. Anybody that was ever in the army is wrong.
Right.
you know, there are certain things in this world which are intrinsically good and intrinsically evil, right? But many moral issues we face are, the principles are immutable, but the circumstances in which they are applied are more complicated. And in the world we live in with so much corruption, it's even more complicated. And again, we can err by being too quick and too snap of our decisions, where, you know, it calls for a much more, you know, much more difficult analysis.
That's very true. Well, we've been talking for a while, and I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you're incredibly busy having just taken on this new position. Just wanted to touch on the fact that, so there will be a Catholic Family News conference coming up in 2019, and you are planning that. Is that correct?
That's correct. And so I can't really say it exactly because we're still negotiating with the hotel to confirm the date, but it'll be in the spring, definitely in the spring. And I think it's going to be a really interesting topic, looking to be international with some real international speakers. So I can say subscribe to Catholic Family News and you'll get some announcements throughout the next few months on that. We are going to run the July issue. One of the things I decided, we're going to run a special subscription and renewal price to sort of encourage subscriptions. And in fact, if you've let your subscription lapse, I'll let you know for the maybe a little bit over the past year, we're going to send everybody who's been a subscriber who lapsed their subscription in the past 18 months or so a free copy. So it'll be a great time to subscribe again. A great compliment to the Angelus. You know, again, in these dark times, the more good influences we can get, the better. So,
absolutely. Well, Dr. McCall, thank you so much for your time. It's been great to speak with you, and I hope we can chat again as time goes on. But we'll be watching with interest what you do at Catholic Family News, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you pop up. You seem to kind of pop up everywhere these days. So,
great.
All right.
Have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe and rate the podcast so that more people can hear the beauty and truth of traditional Catholicism. For more news, resources, and updates, you can visit the U.S. District website at sspx.org or the English news website of the Society at fsspx.news.